Even within a single company, giving out COVID vaccines is complicated. I'm David Brancaccio. The number of people who signed up for unemployment benefits has surged again. It was 853,000 people who filed after fresh layoffs. That's much higher than analysts were expecting, 17% higher than the week before. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton.
Part of the increase we saw in the week ending December 5th was due to a catch-up from Thanksgiving week, where we saw a bit of a slowdown, but the four-week moving trend is moving up, and it's moving in the wrong direction on both initial unemployment claims and those special pandemic insurance benefits that could expire December 26th. So this really underscores why Congress needs to act and act now and stop sort of the stalling on the relief bill, because relief is what we really need. Many people are running on fumes at this point in time. And we're talking about, you know, this number is over 1.3 million. The increase was quite significant, which means we'll likely see a contraction in the month of December in employment.
Economist Diane Swonk. Yesterday's stock in the restaurant delivery company DoorDash rose by more than 80% in its first day of trading. It's down 8% now. Airbnb stock is supposed to launch a bit later this morning. The European Commission today released its proposed plan to try to ease the worst effects of a breakup with Britain. This is what to do if it's a particularly ugly breakup with no post-exit deal. It's about reciprocal contingency measures. The BBC's Nick Beek is his name, has the details from Brussels.
Unveiling the plans, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen tweeted that even though the trade talks were ongoing, the EU had to be prepared for all scenarios. It's proposing a six-month arrangement to keep flights operating, which it asks the UK to also agree to. It's offering to keep what it calls basic connectivity for hauliers so goods can continue to flow. There's also a proposed regulation on fishing, which would mean both sides keep access to each other's waters for up to a year, or until a deal has been done on future fishing arrangements. Fishing is one of the main areas of division, which has so far prevented a wider Brexit trade deal from being agreed.
Nick Beek, BBC Brussels. Facebook is pushing back against two sweeping lawsuits alleging the media and advertising company has acquired an illegal amount of market power, the view that it's a monopoly. The Federal Trade Commission and 46 states filed these cases yesterday. Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business and joins us from Ann Arbor. Good morning.
Hello, David.
I mean, you have a career. You were an attorney, are an attorney, specializing in antitrust. Do you see an open and shut case here?
This is not going to be open and shut. This is going to be a long-fought battle with lots of twists and turns, and I don't think the government is going to get what it's asking for.
Why is it such a subtle thing to prove this kind of stuff?
We have to remember that these two acquisitions that the government complains about were acquisitions that were made quite some time ago, 6-8 years ago, actually in the Obama administration. And when the government looked at the acquisitions then, the government said, oh, okay, go ahead. Now they're saying, wait a minute, let's take it apart. It's going to be tough to get a court to go for that.
That is one of Facebook's contentions now. Hey, the regulators already said it was A-okay. So, I mean, the likelihood, Eric, that Facebook gets shattered like the old AT&T into smaller shards?
I don't think that's going to happen. For one thing, the AT&T breakup wasn't a success. When the government tried to break up Microsoft, it didn't succeed. So I don't think we're going to see Facebook broken up into little pieces. I don't think it's going to be broken up at all.
At all, but no remedy, no changes? I mean, you have nearly every state in the nation joining these lawsuits.
Well, there are other remedies besides breaking it up. For example, you could force Facebook to open its APIs. APIs are like the connections from the outside world into the guts of Facebook, particularly with the social graph. That's all of the connections Facebook knows about you and everybody else you talk to on Facebook. If Facebook has to open that up, then lots of people could compete with Facebook. And that would be a very powerful remedy without breaking the company up.
I mean, there is a new administration coming in. Will the Joe Biden team make a difference here?
You know, I think they'll make a difference in tone, but I can't imagine a Democratic president allowing himself to be positioned as softer on big business and antitrust than an outgoing Republican.
Eric Gordon was an antitrust attorney, but for years has been a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Always good to talk to you.
My pleasure, David.
Today, an independent panel of experts convened by the Food and Drug Administration reviews the data on the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID vaccine. Now, if these experts give the green light, FDA approval could follow perhaps tomorrow. Getting ready to give shots, at least from a managerial point of view, is Dr. John Lewin, CEO of Emory Healthcare, Georgia's largest healthcare provider. Thanks for connecting.
Well, it's my pleasure, David. Thank you for inviting me.
So there you are, Georgia's largest healthcare provider. You ready to start giving out some vaccine?
We are just excited to do it, and we are completely ready to move forward as soon as we get it.
There's not going to be enough for everyone, so what are the thoughts about, first of all, your staff, who will get it first?
Yeah, so we've spent a lot of time thinking about how to prioritize what is a scarce resource. So we're looking at prioritization based on the geography. We're going to start with people in the emergency rooms, the intensive care units, obviously including our many COVID intensive care units. We're going to continue to look at risk factors and, importantly, the essentiality of preserving our ability to deliver care. That's not just the doctors and nurses, but it's many of the people, the respiratory therapists, the lab techs who run the lab, as well as people you might not think about, our environmental services people, the people who clean the rooms are critical as well.
It's so interesting because, I mean, someone on the outside might have thought you just needed to wait for your orders from, let's say, the Centers for Disease Control or, let's say, some office for the state of Georgia. But you seem to have quite a lot of latitude to make these decisions for your employees.
Well, we've been in fairly constant contact with our Georgia Department of Public Health, as well as the CDC. We're fortunate the CDC is actually sitting about a stone's throw from my office at Emory. But really, their guidance is more on the order of, you know, phase 1A, which is healthcare workers with direct or indirect contact with patients or infectious materials. But within the individual health systems and healthcare workers, it'd be challenging for them to give really universal guidance because you have organizations like ours with, you know, 26,000 people, and you have small rural hospitals where there may be 100 employees. So you're right. We actually have spent time not only working on our own, but also helping through the Georgia Hospital Association, helping to inform other hospitals and healthcare systems how we're doing it to help them decide what might be good guidance as they develop their plans.
John Lewin is CEO of Emory Healthcare, Georgia's largest healthcare provider. Dr. Lewin, thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
And there's news that CNN beat Fox News in average viewers from the Sunday before Election Day through last weekend. That is from Nielsen and the first stretch of CNN winning since 9/11, according to Forbes magazine. And on Monday, a show on the conservative media network Newsmax had a larger audience than what was on Fox at the time, another first. Newsmax has offered a safe space for viewers who don't believe Joe Biden was elected president-elect. The Newsmax CEO said today he's hiring. He hired 25 employees recently, 30 more to come. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.